I am there as well. We're going to be reading verses 6 through 10. Got a couple more weeks in this letter from the Apostle Paul to this church in Galatia. You okay? Starting at verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can gather around your word. Please lead our hearts. Please show us, God, where we are in need of conviction and change. Please teach us, Lord, what it means to sow to the Spirit. And I pray, God, that would be very practical for everyone who is here, that we would be a people who sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. So please surround us with your Spirit this morning, Lord. Please fill us with your Spirit and lead us, God, to see the truths that you have for us in this text. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, when we first came and visited this area as a family, it was about this time of year. It was fall. And just noticed right then and there that in the city, people love to decorate. Truly, like I had never seen decorations for Halloween like there are here in Buffalo. As a matter of fact, about 4 months later, here comes Valentine's Day. I can honestly say I have never seen anybody decorate for Valentine's Day. But here in the city, we'll decorate for anything, right? St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day. If there's a holiday, there's going to be some decorations. And so right now, out and about, you can see those decorations for Halloween. And so fall means pumpkins. That's part of that decoration, isn't it? Pumpkins are, and I went and bought a bunch of them for our family yesterday. You know, we expect to see them in the grocery stores. We see them on the farms. We see them on the little roadside markets. And fall means pumpkins. But the only way that fall can mean pumpkins is if somebody planted for pumpkins several months ago. That's the only way that we're going to have pumpkins in those roadside stands. It's the only way the Wagners are going to have pumpkins sitting out there in Orchard Park, is if somebody made plans to plant for them months in advance. And so we reap right now in the fall because someone sowed in late spring or early summer. And so when God made this world, sowing and reaping is one of those principles that he fixed into place. It is a truth that is immovable. You reap what you sow. Seeds of a particular kind are sown, and from those seeds there are going to be a harvest. And so if you sow for pumpkins, you're going to get pumpkins. You plant apple trees, you get apple trees. It's just the way that it is. And we just come to accept that when it comes to gardening and farming. And what Paul is telling us here in these verses is that sowing and reaping is not just an agricultural principle. It's not just for farming. It's not just for pumpkins. It's for more than that. It's also a spiritual principle. So Paul is teaching us that just as a farmer is intentional with what he sows into the ground and he expects a harvest, so we have to be a people who live intentionally sowing so that we will reap a good harvest in our hearts. But before he lays down the principle of sowing and reaping in verse 7, Paul tells us something about ourselves. He says that we are prone to self-deception. So he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And so these are not just random words that are thrown together at the end of a letter. He's not just trying to wrap it all up with some loose commands. He is telling us that human beings deceive themselves by living as though the principle of sowing and reaping is not true. We live as though we do not believe it. And this mocks God. Literally, it means to turn up your nose at him. And what he's saying here is that so many people live as though I can do whatever I want to do. I can live fleshly, unholy, ungodly, and expect there to be a different outcome. He says, this mocks God. It deceives yourself. Because whatever you sow, whatever you do in your day-to-day practical life, you will reap from it. We reap what we sow. There are consequences or rewards later for what you do today. And so the first thing that we have to do this morning as we look at this passage is to acknowledge that this principle is true. Just as you would believe that whatever you sow in spring, you will reap in fall, we must also believe that whatever you sow spiritually, you will also reap spiritually. Get that firmly fixed in our minds, that there is going to be a harvest that comes into my heart and from my hands. From whatever I am doing today, it will happen, whether it is tomorrow or months or years down the road. I will reap from what I have sown, because God will not be mocked. This is His principle that He has fixed into place. And Paul gives us three areas where this principle is clearly at work. These are places where the Christian hopes to see a harvest. And the first place that he tells us about there in verse 6 is that sowing and reaping occurs in the ministry of the Word. Look at what he says. He says, "Look, let the one who is taught the Word share all good things with the one who teaches." And I notice that some commentators would put verse 6 with the previous paragraph, and some of them would put it here. It's almost like people didn't know exactly what to do with this verse, because it might at first seem like a little bit of a loose command, like it's just something that popped in Paul's mind. Like, oh, let me throw that out there and tell them about making sure they share all good things with the one who teaches. But I think there is a reason why it is placed, at least in my Bible, it is grouped in this particular paragraph, and I think that it seems best that it is there. Because this is a principle of sowing and reaping as it applies to the work of the minister and to the generous giving of the congregation as they support him. So the one who sows the word, whoever sows the word, faithfully, if they do that faithfully, they will reap some sort of harvest. They'll reap a harvest. I had a conversation with a lady this week where I told her that there are so many problems in a congregation that I know that I am incapable of helping with or solving. I just feel completely, completely inadequate. Maybe it's a lack of time. Sometimes it's a lack of resources to be able to help people, or sometimes just a lack of ability. I'm just not able. But I do believe, personally, this is from me, that I do believe that by giving myself to the ministry of the Word of God with a preaching ministry of years and years, that He will do far more with that in the hearts and minds of God's people than I could ever do otherwise. Just consistently sowing the Word and praying that it takes root. And over time, God Himself will use His Word to bring a harvest. Because the Word of God, brothers and sisters, that is how God shapes a people. He shapes a people through the ministry of the Word of God. It's how He created things in the very beginning. He spoke everything into existence. But it is also now how He reforms and changes the hearts of His church. It's the Word. And maybe we get tired of saying that sometimes, like, oh, it's the Word of God. It is the Word of God. He brings forth fruit from it being sown. And it doesn't have to be from the preacher. It can be from anybody who is consistently sowing the Word of God amongst the people of God. We expect that there will be a harvest. We live and are shaped each and every day, as Deuteronomy 8 says, by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's how we're shaped. And God has given some people the responsibility of teaching His Word as their vocation, employment in the church to help the body of Christ grow and mature. Somebody sows the Word. Somebody is consistently sowing the Word, and God and His people, He reaps a harvest from that. It's long term. Isn't that the way that the sowing and reaping works anyway? I mean, you sow in spring, and you don't see much of any fruit at all. You see something growing over the course of time, struggling to survive, and eventually it brings forth fruit. But so it is with the Word of God. That's why I say years and years. We like a quick turnaround on things, but the Word of God, it might change you tomorrow, but it might change you 10 years from now. I was reading this week some comments on this passage, and it said there was a man who was 103 years old. I think he was, I think it was in the early 1700s, as he was sitting and thinking on a sermon that he had heard before, he was converted. So he wasn't even sitting there at that moment listening to it. He was remembering the words of this preacher. The amazing thing about it was, is this preacher had preached the message 85 years before. So it was when this man was 18 years old. Now he's 103, and he becomes converted by what he is thinking on. There was something very pithy on his gravestone, because he died when he was 106. It said something about him being a babe at 106 years old, because he was a babe in Christ. But yet he was in Christ. It was the ministry of the Word, faithful preaching years before, that had brought this man to the Lord almost a century later. And so we believe in the ministry of the Word here at CAS. I believe in the ministry of the Word. And all that is absolutely true that I've said so far, and that may be in Paul's mind, but that is not the point that he's making here in verse 6. That's not the point. Because what he says here is that the people sow their seed. The people sow their seed. They share what they have with the one who is ministering, and they will reap a good harvest. And so there are some people, myself included, in the Christian community who are given an opportunity to devote themselves to the ministry of God's Word. I devote myself to the ministry of God's Word through the generous support of this congregation, through the seed that you are sowing, by sharing what you have. Listen to how Paul says something similar to the church in Corinth. He says, if we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? And so here Paul makes it clear that he sees sowing and reaping as being interchangeable between the material world and the physical world, or the material world and the spiritual world, that these two things are interchangeable. So the minister, he sows something spiritual amongst the people, but he also reaps a material harvest from them. The people, they sow something material to the pastor, and yet they also reap something spiritual from him. And so in both cases, the principle of sowing and reaping holds true. God's principle is fixed, and it spans across spiritual and the physical realms. And money here is at the core of what Paul is teaching. Money is at the core of this truth of sowing and reaping. And anytime something comes up in the scriptures about money, it can be a sensitive issue, can it? It can be, because I've known people who think that's what the church is all about. They're just after your money, always passing that plate. And this is anecdotal again. This is something I've just heard before, but I've heard of a church that the pastor and the staff, they wanted a particular amount of money given on a Sunday morning. They pass the plate. It comes back. They look at it. They send it back out again. And they keep sending that plate back out till they feel like they have received what the Lord wanted them to receive. And so because of stories like that, and I've actually heard people say that they believe that that's what the church is all about. And because of that, I'm kind of sensitive sometimes about preaching on money. It's just never going to be my go-to. But the Word of God is not sensitive about it. The Lord isn't sensitive about it. Because how we handle our money, how we use our money, says so much about our hearts. And God knows that. So Scripture does not hesitate at all to teach us how we are to use our resources. And personally, I'm able to do what I believe is the primary responsibility that I have as a minister through your giving, and that is the preaching of God's Word. There are certainly other things that a pastor does, but this one, I believe, is the most important one, though the only thing that you're going to see usually is what happens on a Sunday morning over the course of 45 minutes. And some of you would like for it to be less, you know? Some of you want 30 minutes. Some might want less than that. And that leads some people to that joke to some pastors where they say, you know, Pastor, I wish that I only worked one day out of the week. Or I wish I only worked 1 hour out of the week, you know. But your giving frees me to do what is a great privilege, and that is to study and think on the Word of God, because I reap a great joy out of that, a great joy. And on top of all the material blessing that you all give me, it is a great joy from the relationship that we have. But what Paul says here is that the people also reap something through their sharing. They reap the benefits of the minister's labor, or at least you should. If I'm faithful at proclaiming the Word of God and you're faithful at preparing your hearts to come, there should be a harvest. Hearts that listen and hearts that are willing to do what God has them to do, because it is for the good of all of our souls that this principle holds true of sowing and reaping in the Word of God. That's the first thing that Paul talks about in verse 6. And then he moves on to talking about sowing and reaping in holiness. Sowing and reaping in holiness. And this occupies most of Paul's words in this section, and it reminds us that the portion here in chapter 6 is not detached from what we see in chapter 5, because much of that was about the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And he mentions those again here. Let me read it to you again. Verse 8, he says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." And so I want you to imagine a farm. A farm that's got a couple of different fields in it. And a person can sow into either one of those fields. One field is the flesh. The other is the field of the Spirit. And what we reap depends on what we sow and where we sow it. And so again, in chapter 5, we were told what the fruit, again, agricultural language that Paul is using here, what the fruit of the Spirit is. But if you want to reap the fruit of the Spirit, you have to begin by sowing to the Spirit. You cannot expect to reap without sowing. Maybe you've heard the old saying, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. This is about living intentionally. And that's what Paul is teaching us here in these verses too, that we are to be a people who live intentionally. And you are sowing seed, whether you know it or not, every day. You just are. Constantly. And if you are not fighting by faith to sow to the Spirit, more than likely, please hear me, church. If you are not sowing intentionally, fighting to sow intentionally to the Spirit, more than likely you are defaulting and just sowing to the flesh. You have habits every day that you go through, whether you know it or not, and you are sowing either into the field of the flesh or the field of the Spirit, and you are going to reap a harvest from one or the other. The flesh is that old nature, the old man that is in you that still loves impurity, the one that rejoices in the failures of other people, the gossip that is in you, the greedy heart that you still notice from time to time. The flesh is an appetite that's still alive in you that wants to be fed. It's hungry, wants to be fed. And when you do, it feels good, at least for a moment. And when you feed the flesh, comfort it, coddle it, nurture it, take care of it, you're sowing seeds to it. And you're giving it an opportunity to let that seed put down roots and grow and develop, and someday, tomorrow, years, months, whatever, You will reap a harvest. You just will. Because this is God's principle. He has ordained that this is the way the world works, and this is the way your heart works. Listen to what John Stott says here. He's very insightful in these comments. He says, the seeds that we sow are largely thoughts and deeds. Every time we allow our mind to harbor a grudge, nurse a grievance, entertain an impure fantasy, or wallow in self-pity, we are sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company, whose insidious influence we know we cannot resist. Every time we lie in bed when we ought to be up praying. Every time we read pornographic literature. Every time we take a risk that strains our self-control. We are sowing to the flesh. Some Christians sow to the flesh every day and wonder why they do not reap holiness. Holiness is a harvest. Whether we reap it or not depends almost entirely on what and where we sow. Man, that is good. Love that last statement. Some Christians sow to the flesh every day and wonder why they do not reap holiness. I believe what Paul is describing here in this passage is the reason why so many people seem stunted on the path to Christian maturity. Why it is that some never really seem to make any progress in genuine holiness. You see them today, they're where they are. You come back 10 years later, they're still there. And they wonder why. They expect to reap a harvest that they have never sown for. And in that sense, sadly enough, they mock God. Their days revolve around worldly desires spent soaking in worldly things. The people who influence them are teaching worldly ideas. They have worldly habits. They have fleshly mouths, as if coming to church on Sunday mornings and reading the daily bread during the week can offset all of the seeds of the flesh that have been sown throughout the week. And so when harvest time comes, the barn of the flesh is full and the storehouse of the spirit is empty. And so God's principle, brothers and sisters, holds true. Do not expect to be a holy man when you fill your hours in unholy ways. I'll just tell you, as I was reading this week, I thought, man, this is convicting. But at the same time, this is so helpful. So practical, so daily in what I do with my time, my resources, how I talk to people, how I see people, what I choose to do in all of those situations. I am either sowing to the flesh, giving in to it, allowing it to have its way, or I am sowing to the Spirit. And from that, you can expect to reap a harvest. So convicting, but so helpful. Our pursuit as new creatures in Christ is to sow to the Spirit. And by saying it's a pursuit, I mean that it's a direction that you have to intentionally chase after every day. It is like warfare, hand-to-hand combat. Because the flesh is constantly going to want to have its way in you. The evil one wants to sift you like wheat. And so often we give in, allow ourselves to be sifted. And just think that everything, I'm just going to be a holy person when I live so unholy. All I think of is unholy. All I talk about is unholy. Well, you're going to reap a harvest of unholiness. You have to sow for it. And so when somebody cuts you off in traffic, right then and there, you are given an opportunity to sow to the flesh or to the Spirit. When you see an attractive woman who's wearing far less than she should, in that moment, you're given an opportunity to sow to the flesh or to the Spirit. when you've committed time to praying and the alarm goes off, in that moment, are you going to sow to the flesh or to the spirit? Keep an account of your thought life. What are you stuck thinking on today? Or what were you stuck thinking on this week? How did you think about it? And did you mull it over in your mind? I mean, was it kind of nasty? Did you fight against it at all? Whatever just kept coming over you, you wanted to think on? Or did you wage war against it? Were you sowing seeds to the flesh or to the spirit? What kind of words come out of your mouth? What kind of words come around out of your mouth? There are times when I'm spend some time with some folks and there's some words that I hadn't heard from in a while, and they're just so common in the way that some people use them. Startling. Do the words that come out of your mouth ever startle you? If there are words that you know that you're not supposed to use because they're about things that you're not supposed to be thinking on or giving yourself over to. We just cut to the chase of it. What kind of harvest are you preparing for with the way that you live today? Because he says here, God will not be mocked. And we do not need to be a people who deceive ourselves and just believe that I'm just going to be holy, or I am holy, though everything I do is unholy. Craziness. What kind of harvest are you preparing for? Which means, what kind of seeds are you sowing today? So be intentional, brothers and sisters, about what you're sowing this week. Make every effort to cast your seed into the field of the Spirit and not the field of the flesh. Lastly, Paul says that this principle of sowing and reaping holds true in our doing good. And the good that we do. And what he's talking about here is acts of mercy, sacrificial service, time spent building up other people, meeting their needs, just generally doing good, encouraging, building up others. And first, I want to mention what he says here in verse 10, because he makes it clear who it is we're supposed to do good for. Who are the people that we're supposed to be doing good for? He says everyone. Everyone, but he says then especially those who are in the household of faith. But he also adds a little bit of a nuance there. He says we're supposed to help as we have opportunity. And that helps us to prioritize our time, doesn't it? Our resources. Because you're not able to help every person that you see that has a need, are you? I'm not. So he says here, as we have opportunity. You don't chase down every need. You might know of all sorts of things that you want to help with, but who is right in front of you who is giving you an opportunity? Who can you help? Stop thinking about all the people that you want to help and start helping those people that you can, the people that you have opportunity to. But then on top of that, he says that it is fellow family members, the people who are now a part of this strange family that you call Kaz Church. What people in the household of faith have a need? Because he says that these are the people that get the priority. I just think how practical and helpful that Paul would give us words like this, because it can be overwhelming at times, can't it? All the needs that are out there in the world, all the needs that are in even your sphere of influence. And yet he is saying that those people that are giving you opportunity, as you are able, help them. But then especially help those who are of the household of faith, those who are a part of the church of God. And so God is showing us the best way that we can use our time and our resources in doing good. But notice also what he says. He tells us that we should not grow weary in this work. Why would he need to say that? Because doing good is not easy. It's not easy. And sometimes we just don't get the results that we had hoped to get, do we? And when you don't see the results that you want to see from all the work that you were doing, that you're out there straining and giving your all for, the temptation is, I'm just going to stop doing it. Right? And so Paul says here, let us not grow weary. Don't get tired in it. Because I know that if you're like me, you have asked from time to time, is it worth it? Man, is it worth it? I spent all my time doing that, and in the end, it did not seem to make any difference at all. You help that person to get out of one ditch, and all they do is just swerve over into the other one. Man, why do I waste my time? Why do I waste my time? You get weary, and you want to give up. But Paul here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, be patient, brothers and sisters. Don't lose heart, because harvest time is not here yet. It's not here. And we want immediate results from our labor. You know, I work this week, I get paid this week. That's the world that we live in. This morning, I walk into the church, internet's supposed to be working, we paid for it. It's not. Why is it not? Things are supposed to work like that, aren't they? Sometimes they just don't. And we get frustrated. So I serve people today. I want to see results by tomorrow. Don't you? I went and did all that labor, and they weren't even thankful. And nothing changed in their life. They just kept doing the same things they'd always done. That's what we want. And what Paul is telling us is that we're expecting the fruit of our labor too soon. We live in that instant culture. We want instant results. And he's saying this is not that way. What you sow today may take seasons and seasons and seasons before it takes root and bears fruit. And so there are some acts of service that will never yield visible results while you're here on earth. And sometimes, you know, it might be hard to hear. So there are some things that you are doing for other people that will never bear the results that you want them to bear. You'll never see it. You won't see that fruit while you're here on earth. And there are some prayers that will never be answered in your lifetime. There was a man named George Mueller who lived a couple hundred years ago. And this man, and I may have mentioned him here in this setting before, I don't know. But Mueller was a man who prayed for everything that he needed. He opened up an orphanage in England, and he never actively petitioned for anything that the orphanage needed. He just prayed for it. And he documents in his journals some 10,000 answered prayers. He just kept meticulous journal entries to demonstrate how God answered the prayers that he prayed. And just one of them in particular sticks out in my mind. The children were all sitting around the table at night, and they were hungry, and Mueller had no food. And he just said, just wait, children. He's sitting there praying, oh, God, do something. The kids are hungry. And about that same time, there was a knock at the door, and it was a milkman whose truck had broke down outside. And he needed to unload all that milk or it was going to go bad. And of course, Mueller receives it, tells the kids, our food is all here. God is taking care of us, never letting them know that he had nothing for them to eat. That's the type of ministry that this man had. He prayed for everything. And one of the things that he prayed for, I think there were two people that he prayed consistently for throughout his lifetime, apparently prayed for him every day and would document it. I think one was converted at the very end of his life, and there was another man who was not. But yet, I think years after Mueller had died, this man was converted to the faith in Christ, and his prayers were answered. But he never saw it. He just did not grow weary in his doing good of praying for this individual. And so Paul is saying to us here, do not grow weary, for in due time you will reap a harvest. And it may very well not be the harvest that you were expecting. God may have something very different in mind through the good that you are doing or through the prayers that you are praying. And you might not ever see it in this lifetime, but what Paul is telling you here is that if you keep sowing and doing good, you will reap a harvest, but it will be as you stand before the Lord. You will reap your crown, your good reward, your well done. So, brothers and sisters, I know that you see things that need to be fixed or things that need to be helped in this congregation and in your community. And as you are given opportunity, continue to do that good. Do not grow weary, for in due season, God's season, whenever He deems that you reap a harvest, you certainly will. Because He has fixed this principle to be true, that whatever you sow, you will reap. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can gather around your word. We pray, God, that we will be a people who do not grow weary of doing good. That we will be a people in our thought life, in our service, our deeds, that we will be a people that sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Heavenly Father, please convict those who are here this morning that know that they consistently are sowing in the field of the flesh. Drive them from that. Give them a new heart, a new desire to live holy lives for you. And may they not grow weary in that. It is a struggle. It is a battle. It is a fight every day, but it is one worth waging. Make us intentional as we leave this place to live this week for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Though nobody else sees it, Lord, you do. And you promise that you will bring forth a harvest in us and from us. And we trust all of these things into the hands of our God, through the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.